This audio file contains massive spoilers for The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. If you wish to avoid these, please use the stop button rune on your Sheikah slate immediately. Welcome to Video Games Are Bad, actually, Spoiler Zone, Act 1. This is our special full spoilers bonus cast. We're going to spoil the absolute fuck out of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild today, just in case you weren't listening a minute ago when the warning was at the very beginning of the file. So please, we're going to talk about anything and everything on this episode. So if you don't want things from this game spoiled for you, please... please take care of yourself and push the stop button. We love you.
Just turn it off.
Love yourself.
The podcast isn't going anywhere.
We'll be there for you later.
If you care about yourself, normally you don't listen to this show.
But
in this specific... I'm sorry, it's what I do. I'm self-deprecating about the content.
Yeah,
it's good,
so...
but also...
Hi, so we're your hosts. I'm Jill.
I'm Erica.
I'm Didgeri.
Hey there, folks. It's me, Eden.
Yeah, we got Eden back with us for this one.
I'm taking dramatic pauses.
Oh.
I see you've been playing Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh.
That joke's going to play with, like, I don't know, anybody else here.
Jesus. Okay, so we...
I haven't been playing Mass Effect. Please continue, Jill.
We held a lot of stuff in, kept a lot of things to ourselves when we talked about Breath of the Wild a few episodes ago on the regular timeline of the show. So here we are to take off the limiters and talk about anything and everything that we want to get into on Breath of the Wild. So who wants to pick something to start with?
I want to holler out the final boss, but I think we have maybe, like... not do that first.
Maybe we should build up to that. Here's a question. What was your favorite divine beast?
Shit, that's tough.
Good question. I that's actually a good first question I want to do too, is like something similar to that. What order did everybody do them all in?
Let's just go around the table for that. So I did Gerudo, Zora, Rito, and then Goron.
I did the Gorons first, and then, gosh, what did I do? Gorons, Gerudo, Rito, Zora.
I did the exact same order that Jill did it.
Oh, I did it Rito, Zora, Goron, Gerudo. And the reason I did it that way is because I heard that the Gerudo one was the most difficult, so I wanted to do that one last.
So I didn't, yeah, really I didn't know that ahead of time. I charged right in there because I wanted to get the fucky Link outfit. And it kind of colored how I experienced the rest of the game, I think, because that divine beast is scary. Like, it's a fucking intimidating presence out there in the desert, like shooting lightning and everything.
It'd fucking kill you.
That's the only divine beast that actually actively tries to hurt you.
Yeah, and it was terrifying. Like, it's a really creepy-looking thing, and it was surrounded in all that lightning and the, like, sandstorm and shit, and I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, that thing is actually creeping me the fuck out, and I don't want to go anywhere near it, which was really cool. And then I did that one, and the dungeon was, like, really challenging and interesting, and then every single one after that was a huge letdown. Because that was the best in my opinion, by a very large amount.
I was just going to say, is like I felt like it was the most challenging as far as like puzzles and the boss, the dungeon were. Because like it took me a while to figure out like how to move the, how to like turn the thing in order to figure out all of the puzzles. And it took me a good long while to get through it. Whereas I think I did the Goron one last. I think I cleared it in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, like, I just plowed nothing. Right through like, the Goron one like it was nothing.
The Goron one wasn't particularly difficult, but I did like the way it started in the darkness.
That was really cool. Was so cool. And then the rest of the dungeon did not live up to that, like, at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, like, so the Goron, Varudania is that one.
Yeah.
And it's the giant lizard on the mountain. And I thought that was, like, a really cool thing for the first thing. And I definitely thought, like, Death Mountain being... Death Mountain was probably a later game intended thing, but yeah, that ended up being the easiest divine beast. I thought the lead up segment to that was interminably annoying and terrible.
It's not good.
Oh yeah,
it was very bad.
Oh, the part where you're escorting Yunobo.
Yeah, that was like, I got to that part after playing just. The like the regular game, and I was like, oh, so this is where the Zelda went.
I feel like I'm one of the few people who didn't hate that part, and that's probably because I did it a long time after doing the one Korok stealth mission that is just complete garbage.
Oh no, I've heard about that one, and I have no desire to go do it myself.
Yeah,
it took me like five times.
It's garbo. It's the worst. Compared to that, the Goron one is a lot easier because like you're not trying to avoid being detected by something that's constantly moving as much as you are just like, because you can see the line of sights of the sentries and you can like fuck them up in all sorts of different ways.
Oh yeah, you can just pick up a rock.
They're pretty
and
easy
smash
to kill.
Which is what I did.
I like doing that.
I used the stasis thing to like stop them temporarily and run by them.
Yeah, so it's a little annoying, but it's also like way easier to get through than freaking that Korok mission.
Yeah. I thought the Goron. So I didn't really like any of the dungeons that much, frankly. Like I thought the Varudania was probably my favorite, actually, in terms of just because they have such good tech in here for Link like climbing up slopes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they did the really like the inspired thing of making all the dungeons have the rotational element to them.
Yes, I
where
love
in
that.
Like most games where they do that and the characters are very, very bad at moving on slopes and ledges that are moving.
Yeah.
And that worked out great in Zelda. I just thought, like, I don't know. The dungeons were not really... I don't know how to describe it. I liked the Varudania because it did... It was definitely the easiest. But I feel like having just two places for the lizard to be, like, oriented was probably a good move. Because especially on, like... the Gerudo one, I forget what that is, but the giant camel or elephant or whatever.
It's a camel.
The elephant was the Zora one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe it's the Zora one then. Just the having this giant trunk that has like 10 different points of articulation.
That was so unnecessary.
And the dungeon was like tiny too in that one. Like, I don't even know if I did it correctly. I just kind of hacked my way up to this gear. And then just, like, none of it felt... this is something I wrote down in my notes about the dungeons. Is that, like, they have this weird middle ground between being, like, a very, like, clean designed dungeon interior. Like, most Zelda games are, I think, typically. Or like the shrines are, and they're in this weird space between that and like a very naturalistic approach, which is like, you can see that in like how all the dungeons are obviously designed around like the architecture of the creatures, but then inside the creatures, everything is just arbitrarily placed to be like, this is for this puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the Rito one is a good example of that, because it's like this just bird. And it has these, like, it's just a huge bird that you, like, fucking go around inside of. And it has, like shoots, or it has, like, these flaps that you open to introduce wind into the dungeon to solve certain puzzles. But then there's, like, an entire giant room that's just blocked off for no reason so that you can, like, as a cool puzzle, but it doesn't make any sense in terms of, like, why is that there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It just felt very awkward to me having this thing be beholden to an outside logic, but also being completely arbitrarily designed inside of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that I did notice with the dungeons, particularly the bosses, is that even though this game doesn't have the same sort of Zelda tradition where you go into a dungeon and you get a specific item and then you use that on the boss, all of the bosses of the dungeons wanted you to use specific runes against them.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it's more obvious with, I think, the Zora one and the Goron one.
Oh, but wait, did the Goron one have that? Just shield parrying?
No, the Goron one, you had to use bombs when it was, like, sucking in air.
That's true, yeah.
The Rito one, you have to... I mean, you don't have to. I didn't use it, but you can use stasis on it.
Okay, confession, I do not remember what the Rito boss was like. Which one was that?
That's the one that's another... Oh, okay, so the bosses in this game kind of suck.
Mm-hmm. They weren't great.
Yeah. Because they did this thing where all of the bosses were just something Blight Ganon, and that's really boring.
Yeah.
And they're all identical.
Okay, so the Rito one is Windblight Ganon.
Yes.
I'm watching it.
Yeah,
none of the bosses are really very characterful. Like, they kind of offloaded that to the Divine Beasts.
Yeah.
But I definitely had a big letdown when I did the Varudenya lead-up segment.
Yeah.
And then Yunobo was like, okay, time for you to go take down Varudenya. And I went down, and then I was like, oh, it's a dungeon?
Yeah.
Is there a point where I get to fight Varudenya? No, you just fight some dude flying around on top of him.
Yeah, all of the, like... Yeah. Divine Beast fights are the lead-ups to them, and starting with the Goron one is, like, the only one where it's not an actual fight sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the bosses... I would say that the first time that it happened, the end of the first Divine Beast, where it's like, all of a sudden there is a boss and it's, like, a corruption that's a part of Ganon, I was like, that's really cool! And then it happens three more times, and you're like, they all kind of look roughly very similar.
Yeah.
And
they all have the exact same weakness. They have the Goma weakness. Shoot it in the eye and then hit it, and then you win.
It's really cool lore-wise, and I really like the way they're, like, some of the things about the way they're designed, where they're, like, made from, like, broken machine parts around, like, this horrible, like, goop monster. Yep. Like, that's really cool, but it got pretty samey.
I thought that came across much better in Calamity Ganon.
Yeah, because then you get to Calamity Ganon, and he's, like, made up of the pieces of the other Ganons, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we talk about Calamity Ganon now?
We can. Just one thing before we leave the Divine Beast behind. There's a cool bit of trivia shit that I noticed in their names that I haven't seen people talk about, because people are being very careful about spoilers for this, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
But all of the Divine Beasts are named after famous past Zelda characters from their region.
Oh, yeah.
So the Zoro one is Varuta, after Ruto from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Varudanya is a shuffling of Darunia from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Vonaborus is named after Noboru from Ocarina of Time. And Von Meadow is from Medley from Wind Waker, because the Rito didn't exist in Ocarina of Time, or else they probably would have used whatever the Rito was in Ocarina of Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that.
Huh. That one tripped me up for a while before I realized that in Japanese medley would be like Merori. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, okay. If we're going to move to Calamity Ganon, actually... Well, okay. I don't think we'll probably talk about whatever the final boss is, right? Because he's kind of just...
He's whatever.
What the fuck ever.
Yeah. That's not that's not a boss fight. That's just a cool cutscene that you get
it's
to play.
It's a slightly interactive cutscene.
Yeah.
Which, I agree. To be fair, was really fucking cool.
It was.
I thought they could have... Like, oh man, guys... You made this game with such cool climbing tech.
Yeah.
And you have these immense creatures that absolutely tower over you and embody like these themes of nature and insurmountable natural.
Yeah, these like colossal things that cast a massive shadow.
That might be why they shied away from letting you climb on stuff.
But yeah, like, you have these things, and then the last boss of the game is this gigantic, like, 10-story tall pig, and then you just ride a horse around him. Like, I really thought that I was going to be, like, climbing up Va Meadow, or climbing around that final pig boy.
Yeah, that bit, it seems kind of phoned in, honestly. Like, it's like, okay, we had to do a second phase for this fight, so light arrows, I guess. Here's a horse, okay, go for it.
I actually feel like very much the opposite, because like I found myself after I had done the fourth divine beast, and before, like, while I was still wandering around, like, completing stuff and doing shrines and stuff before I decided to go do the final boss, is I'm a huge maps nerd. So, like, I found myself, like, sitting there looking at the topography of the map and looking at all the different zones, and I sat there and I looked at the area, like, in the huge area in front of Hyrule Castle, like, between Hyrule Castle and where the plateau where you start out on is, and I kept thinking to myself, like, there's not that much here. Like, in every other area, there's, like, a lot of shrines and stuff, and there's reasoning behind, like, how far the shrines are spaced apart, and, like, how close they are, and stuff like that. But then there's just, like, nothing here, and I'm, like, I kept thinking, like, what's the purpose of, like, this? Is it, like, story-based? Like, was there a town here, or something like that, and then that whole sequence, like, starts up, and I'm like, oh shit, they designed this entire zone for this fight.
I mean, they did, and then they didn't really do anything with it, you know? Yeah,
it was just Ganon stomping grounds.
It also, like, so much of the world feels organic, but there's just no real civilization would have a massive castle and, like, a little bit of town right next to it, and then just empty fields before you get to any other, like, settled land, you know? Like,
yeah,
it felt,
I mean,
very...
there's the ruins of Lawn Ranch.
Yeah.
Oh, that just made me think it's kind of similar to other Zelda overworlds, I guess, where it's just a whole lot of nothing, like Hyrule Field in Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess.
Yeah, but at least there was, like, the castle town in Ocarina of Time. Even if it was tiny, like, there was something there, and it kind of... I mean, it was the Nintendo 64, so it made you imagine something bigger.
Yeah.
Whereas the castle proper in this one, it's, like, just the castle. And there's a little bit of a castle town in front of it, but, like, it's kind of nothing. Like, I know it's destroyed, but it seems like it wasn't much even before it was destroyed. And then there's just all this empty land. Like, were there 12 Hylians?
I'm curious, how long did it take you guys to, like, play the final sequence, or just, like, Hyrule, when you started Hyrule Castle to getting to Calamity Ganon?
I spent a lot of time exploring in Hyrule Castle, and I'm glad I did, because there's a lot of cool stuff hidden there.
Did
anyone else find the Hylian shield?
Yes. Oh yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, I liked
especially
everything
about
that.
Especially because it's apparently indestructible, so, like...
It's not indestructible, but it takes a ton of hits to break, so it's, like, the best shield.
Mm.
I saw a speedrun go into like Zelda's little whatever. Like she has like this room in Hyrule Castle that you can find.
Yeah, she has the, you can go to her room and her study as well.
You can read her diary.
Oh gosh. I saw that, which was cool. I did not do most of that. I took about a half hour to get there because I used the Zora outfit to swim up some waterfalls and do like a stealth way.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to get there, but it's more fun to explore the castle, I think. That's the only dungeon in the game where you can actually like explore.
I got that far in the game without learning that you can reflect guardian beams, and so guardians were still completely terrifying to me, and so I just rushed through the whole thing as fast as possible.
I never learned until after I had put the game down.
Yeah, actually, I did not learn that until... So I beat... I beat Calamity Ganon, and then I was like, okay, I know I did that second phase wrong. What did I do wrong? And... and then it was like, you can reflect those lasers. And I was like, what the fuck? No one ever told me that.
Yeah. Well, even if you don't know that you can reflect the lasers, you can, like, make ancient arrows where is that? The place other...
they're fucking
the top
expensive
right of the map. They're kind of expensive, but if
they're
you,
really
like... if you have, like, you can have just one of those arrows, and if you hit the guardian right in the eye, they immediately explode. So if you have like 10 of them, then you can deal with most of the guardians on the way up to Ganon.
Yeah. Also, though, like the Master Sword does like a ton of damage to them.
Yeah, and you can rip off their legs.
Also, like against Ganon, I realized when I got to it, it does a like super Metal Gear Rising thing where like. It just instantly expects you to have gotten good at the combat, because, like, one of the only... besides reflecting the lasers, the only other way to, like, get him out of his, like, orange shield is to do a perfect dodge.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, how did you guys feel about, like, the flurry rushes and stuff?
Those would just immediately break any weapon I was using.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I would use it, but I would always feel a little bad about using it.
I never got the opportunity to like every I saw that prompt after the introductory shrine that teaches you how to do them. I saw that prompt like once.
Oh, I got pretty good at dodging.
Yeah, that was how I did all the test of strength shrines.
See, the test of strength shrines, I don't know. I got through them pretty well without. Maybe it was just Dark Souls, but I used the parrying a lot more than dodging.
Oh, see, I was
anything.
Way better at dodging than parrying. I could never get the timing right for parrying.
I thought the parrying in this game, I actually liked it better than Dark Souls. Like, I don't do any shield parrying in Dark Souls, and I am very not great at doing gun parries in Bloodborne. So I was happy to have a little more leniency in the timing in this one, especially on the Guardian reflections, because I'm pretty solid at those now.
Yeah, once you figure out the timing, it becomes pretty easy.
Yeah, the only thing that annoys me is that they didn't keep it for the flying ones.
Yeah. Because
you can reflect those and they only do like 200 of 1500 damage.
The flying ones are annoying.
Yeah, I don't like them.
They're the most annoying ones.
I stopped seeing health numbers at some point in the game because the upgrade requirements for the tunic that let you see them suck.
Isn't it all like dragon parts?
Mm-hmm.
It's all the dragon parts,
What do you think of the dragons?
Those were really cool, but I like feel like I didn't see them that often.
I only did one of them, and I saw one of them recently, but then I like slept until the time where I thought I saw it, and it wasn't there again.
Aww.
And frankly, 14 armor is enough.
Yeah. I like the dragons. I liked figuring out like where they tend to spawn and coming up with good ways to get their gibs. I think that they're really cute. They're kind of like weird puppies.
So did you do the one that was on top of the mountain toward the northeast?
Yeah. Nadra.
That one was so cool.
Yeah, it got all messed up. There was some Princess Mononoke corruption shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to try that one then.
That's the only one where it's not just flying around already. You have to go help it.
Yeah, you have to go to one of the like the Spring of Wisdom or whatever on top of Mount Lanayru.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's one of my favorite moments in the game, actually.
Yeah, that was That was one of the last things that I found while like playing the game that genuinely was a good surprise. Like I saw it.
Yes.
Like I was looking at my map and I was like, you know, I've never been to the top of Mount Lanayru. Like there's probably something up there, right? And so I went and then I saw it off in the distance. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, oh, there was something.
Oh, actually, the thing that made me think, okay, so I thought Zora's Domain was going to be an end game, or was like actually like actually the intended end game thing for a while, because I tried to go up Mount Lanayru right after I got to Hatno Village. Like that was my first attempt at going really anywhere.
Yeah.
And I got absolutely creamed by an ice choo-choo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Zora's Domain was intended to be like the first place that you go to after going to Kakariko Village,
which is really weird because they sell you a one bar cold reduction thing, and Mount Lanayru is too.
So did you ever notice that if you equip fire items, it gives you a point of warmth?
Yeah,
I thought that the Zora's Domain one was supposed to be later on myself, because I didn't go, like, Mount Lanayru way. I just glided down from Kakariko Village.
Uh-huh.
And I landed in that swampy area, but there's, like, a fucking ton of Lizalfos there.
Yeah.
And I got to one shrine there that I, like, couldn't figure out how to do, so I was like, oh, they want me to come back later. But no, apparently they just wanted me to run. Like at that point, I had like barely anything weapons. I'm like, how am I supposed to fight all these Lizalfos?
Yeah,
I have to break a weapon and a half to beat them.
Yeah, that. I have a question based on that. Did you feel like by the end of the game, when you were like a lot stronger, that it was just like not as fun as it was at the beginning?
That's how I felt about everything in the entire game. Basically, it started so strong, and by the time I was done, like the magic was gone.
Oh, it starts so good.
Yeah.
I felt like the combat it had lost that edge to it that it had at the start, and it had just become like really monotonous, honestly. But like that, when you start, I hate to compare it. I hate to be the point to make that comparison, but it had that Souls-esque feel of, like,
everything can kill you.
Yeah, everything can kill me. My armor's not that good. I'm literally gonna, like, it's like, you would come across a band of enemies and go, do I really want to risk fighting them to maybe get some stuff?
Yeah.
And also possibly break one or two weapons, and I only have, like, three or four at best. Like, it's going to cost me just as much to try this as it would to just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it upsets me that the comparison to Dark Souls became a jokey thing.
Yeah.
While people were doing bad comparisons to Dark Souls. Because this is a game that really needs the comparison to Dark Souls, I feel like. Like, Calamity Ganon as a fight, in just, like, terms of audio design, visual design, and just, like, the general combat in the game, like, is vaguely approaching Souls like level of intentionality, and I was like, damn, this is gonna be a cool fight. Although it was kind of a letdown, because I feel like this is a weird complaint, but I wish the game hadn't quote unquote punished me by making it easier to fight the last boss for doing everything.
Oh my god, yeah.
Okay, but the cutscene was fucking cool.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it
was
very
cool. Amazing.
It was cool, but like, I want an option to just tell like the four folks, just like, hey, calm down, I got this, because I want to fight him with full health.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the opening was really cool. You kind of lose a lot of that. Just going through it, like, okay, the first time I saw the Talus on the opening plateau, there's a Talus in the woods, those are the big rock monsters, I was like, oh shit, and then I threw a bomb at it and it did like one damage, and I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be a badass enemy to fight later. And then I saw a fire one in the Gorn place like 10 hours later, and I just climbed up on it and I started hitting its weak point, and I was like, oh, this is actually very easy.
Yeah,
I don't think I've played a game with such like a downward difficulty curve, like
yeah
seriously, even like other Zelda games ramp up the difficulty as it goes.
That's actually that's a very good point, because yeah, it starts great and then it just gradually gets so much easier.
I honestly think part of the problem is because of how like few enemies there are.
And
a lot of them behave very similarly, like a Lizalfos is a Moblin, they're all the same, so you know how to deal with all of them. They're the only enemies in the game basically, so by the end of the game it's just you know how to deal with them all, and even the guardians stop becoming a threat,
and the Lizalfos are just annoying Moblins that jump sometimes.
Sometimes they will spit water at you.
The Lynels were the only thing that really accepted that rule.
Yeah.
Oh, those things are, like, fucking...
They're fun to fight.
They're fun. They are really fucking hard.
Yeah,
I could have learned to fight them well, but by the time I was being forced to fight them in Hyrule Castle, I had Urbosa's special, and that did, like, half of their health.
Yeah, I kind of cheesed every boss in the game with that, because that was the first power it unlocked, and so every boss in the game with that. It does, like, between a third and half of, like, almost any big enemy's health bar.
It's upsetting.
Yeah, on the plus side, though, you actually can turn all of those off if you so choose. So if you feel like it's making it too easy, you can... Yeah, if you go into the menu to the key items and then select them, you can turn them off.
Oh, shit.
And if I play this game again ever, I'll probably do that.
Yeah, definitely. The only one that I liked was Rivali's Gale.
That's the most useful one.
Yeah. Exploration and stuff.
And I guess Mipha's, because that's just a fairy that you don't have to go collect.
It's an extremely overpowered fairy, though. It makes everything like way too easy.
For like 10 minutes.
I wish that,
I can see that, yeah.
I wish that you could recharge the ones that hold multiple charges without using them all. That felt kind of weird to me.
Say the same thing, yeah.
It's like, well, I want more of these, so I guess I've got to waste, like, this one that I have left so I can have three, like, next time I actually want it.
To wait for it to recharge.
Yeah, like, those tied into how I felt about the runes, too, because, like, on one level, they're cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting them in there. On another level, it was very hard to make them not feel like gimmicks. And most of the time, like, especially stasis, when you just go into a shrine that uses stasis, you're like, oh, time to use stasis.
Yeah. I did like having stasis for the required stealth segment in the Gerudo part of the game.
Yeah, upgraded stasis that you can use on enemies is pretty fun.
Yeah, if I didn't have that, honestly, I don't know if I would have been able to do that the intended way, because every time I tried, I got spotted. I was like, I'm gonna drop these bananas, and then they still see me.
Oh yeah, that part. Yeah, I feel like I remember and sort of liked that part.
I like the idea of that part.
Yeah, it was fun having one time where I fucked it up real bad, and I ended up leading all of the enemies into that room with all the bananas.
Oh, they love bananas.
But that was like one of the only sort of challenging segments, so I guess I technically do have to like it.
Yeah.
It was one of the only things I had to try more than once, really.
Yeah, that is true. That is a point in its favor.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
So
that's also the only part of the game where you fight a boss that isn't Ganon.
That's
true. Oh, yeah, right. And then
that boss is kind of a joke.
Like, falls flat entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that boss sucks.
Like, you go and you fight that guy, and he's like, I'm the king of the dudes who want to fuck you up. And then you, like, fucking murder him, but like comedically.
Yeah.
As like a goof. But then the rest of the game, the evil ninja people act like he's still around, like doing shit, when like clearly you just fucking murdered the hell out of that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like the ninjas all show up at the worst times.
So what I was doing by the end of the game was, all right, I'm going to stasis you and just run. Because fuck you.
I wonder if, I just thought of this right now, I wonder if you can like drop bananas to distract them. Like the ones you're fighting.
I mean, probably.
Oh my god, what if they were trying to teach us that with that segment and we just didn't learn it?
Oh, banana.
Yeah, but like it's not like I'm not eating those bananas.
It's true, those bananas are pretty useful.
Yeah. How did you guys feel about the cooking?
The only recipes that I really used were the ones that like give you extra hearts. Because if you just use one of those items, you get like a full restore, and
that's true.
You get them very easily, so you can just load up on those. Earlier in the game, before those were like plentiful, I used a lot of different recipes, and I like to use ones that made me move faster when I didn't have my horse.
That's true. Yeah, like I there were a lot of cool recipes that I ended up learning, and any game that lets me make risotto is cool. And I appreciate it. All the recipes do the same thing.
Yeah, the thing that's annoying is you can learn cool recipes that take ingredients that you can basically only get in shops, like milk and sugar and stuff. But there's no fucking reason to bake a pretty cake.
But can you make a pretty cake? Thank you. Good.
You can make a monster cake.
Like, if you do the cooking by the book, you're not going to get anything extra out of it.
Yeah, like any, it's...
Just drop everything that says hearty into a thing, and then you got like a plus 20 hearts thing,
you'll get like 20 extra hearts.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Make 5 bananas, drop 5 bananas into a pot, and then you'll be very strong.
Yeah.
Nothing can kill you.
Is that why Donkey Kong is so strong?
That, I think bananas have potassium in them.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on the matter.
Is Donkey Kong a member of the Yiga clan?
Oh.
He has a banana hoard.
I'm pretty sure that...
I did just think that you said Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yu-Gi-Oh. Does Donkey Kong play Yu-Gi-Oh?
Oh, there's the real question.
He's the 5th member of the Yu-Gi clan.
It was really hard when I found the banana room to not take a screenshot and shitpost about it on Twitter.
Yeah, I took a picture of it. It's great.
I like the banana room.
It was good.
I like the camera. I like how this game is basically also Pokemon Snap.
This is true. Did you guys actually use the camera? Because I like never used the sensor.
I used it constantly.
I was kind of obsessed with cataloging everything.
Yeah, it was the same. I was like trying to catalog everything. I was like, oh, I don't have this time to take a picture of it. But like, because I played on the Wii U and on the Switch, like sharing screenshots that way is a fucking colossal pain.
Yeah,
in the
you
ass.
Gotta use the Miiverse.
So I just never took selfies or like goofy screenshots or anything like that because there's no way to share them. There's no point.
Yeah.
The screenshots were a pain in the ass anyways, because there's no way to share them without like the Chrome.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Like, why couldn't you full screen the pictures that you saved?
Yeah. Nintendo.
They tried.
So is there any more gameplay stuff, or do you want to get into the story a little bit?
I do have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. First one, did any of you find the Lord of the Mountain?
Nope.
Yep. I sure did, and I fucked up real bad.
Is that the shiny centaur guy?
That's like the fucked up horse that has two faces, like one of those two-faced cats.
It is.
Is it blue?
Yes, it's blue, like, and it's glowy.
Okay, yes, I found it once. I didn't know what it was. I spooked one of the bunny rabbit things by it, and everything ran away.
Aww.
Oh, no.
I did worse.
Did you kill it?
I did worse. I didn't kill it. But when I encountered it, I didn't know what it was, and like nobody had told me anything about it in the game.
Yeah.
And I saw it surrounded by bloopies. So I was like, oh shit, does this thing function like the bloopies? So if I just shoot it, I get a shitload of money?
Oh,
no. So I shot a bomb arrow at all of them.
Oh, no.
And they all got spooked, and it ran away. And then it, like, fucking ghosted for a second.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. And I walked down to start picking up the rupees. And then it fucking, like, reappeared right next to me.
Oh.
And I, for, like, a split second, saw the prompt mount. And I went, oh, no.
That's tragic. When I encountered it, I immediately thought, oh, this is horse-shaped, so I can probably ride it. So I got on it, and then I saw its horrible face.
The fun thing about that is...
I don't like looking at it.
They coded that so you can't save scum it. So
yeah.
When I was I was getting close to... Because I was like, I was walking around, and I saw this area that was just like glowing extremely blue at night. And I was like, okay, that's got to be something. And so when I was close to it, I saved, and then I went and I fucked up immensely. But I didn't get a photo of it, like, before I scared everything. And I was like, all right, that's cool. At least I got a photo. And then I scared everything, and I was like, well, shit, I'm just going to reload my save. And then I reloaded my save, and they were all gone, and I didn't have my photo.
Oh. Darn.
Mm-hmm.
You tried. Yeah.
Did you have more questions?
Yes, my next question. Besides the obvious Gerudo outfits, what were your favorite outfits in the game?
Sheikah outfit is that actually the one that I wore the whole game because it was useful.
Yep.
And it had good stealth armor when you upgraded broken. It. And also Link's fucking hips. Thank you.
Yes. I wore just the regular Hylian pants or whatever, plus the Sheikah top and like handkerchief and hairdo nice. In pink.
Very good.
With the pants in navy for a lot of the game. It was very, very mom jeans. Thank you. Jill, actually, I think you coined that.
I think I did. You posted a picture, and I was like, oh, mom jeans.
Nice.
Mom jeans Link. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have also been wearing the Gerudo top with the black Hylian trousers as well. I'm gay.
That's a good look.
It's very good.
Yeah, but I never wore the Sheikah top much after getting the Hylian or the Champion's tunic as the one that lets you see health bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cuz it's just clearly better.
Yeah, that one's very
it really
good.
Is. I ended up wearing just the regular Hylian armor for like most of the game. Cuz like after you reach a point where you start getting the dragon materials for the Champion's tunic. Mm-hmm. It became better to just use the Hylian armor set. So
that's
true. I stuck
with
that. Also, because it looks pretty neat. And I couldn't stand using all the metal armor because it was always really clanky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you mean the metal armor from the Goron place? Because that was pretty weak, too.
Yeah. That and the soldier's armor set. Like, the soldier's armor set has, like, super high defense, but also, like, it looks... and it makes a lot of noise.
And it gets struck by lightning.
Yeah, it does that, too.
I liked, besides the Sheikah set, which is, again, like, the best one in the game, just because stealth is the most useful thing to have in the game. I really like the Radiant armor set, which is the one where you look like a fucked up skull wrestler.
Oh.
And it glows in the dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the secret club in Gerudo Town.
It's worth it. I like that one. I really like the rubber outfit too, which was like kind of a hassle to find because it's only in shrines.
It's pretty horny.
I don't think I've
seen this one. What is it?
Oh, it's like this tight rubber suit. And the headpiece is like a catfish.
What's the set
it's like
called?
Link is wearing a catfish. It's the rubber set. It gives you shock resistance, and if you upgrade it enough, then you are completely immune to lightning, which is pretty handy. Actually, a lot of the shrine-only sets are pretty cool. Like, there's the barbarian set.
Okay, it doesn't look as weird as you described. I found a picture, and I was imagining like something completely different.
I wanted the barbarian set, but it just doesn't look fashionable.
Yeah, it's not really very fashionable, but it gives you a big attack boost, and that's pretty nice.
The climbing set was really useful too, but looks like butts.
Yes,
looks like the climbing set
makes you look like a biker.
It makes Link look like a camp counselor.
Yep,
I like that. That's pretty good. And then most of the other armor sets are just whatever. I do like the amiibo only sets, but I'm never gonna get them.
Yeah,
I never once used amiibo. I only set it up because I was like, Eventide Island is annoying as hell. I'm gonna beat it with the amiibo. And then they're like, you can't do the amiibo here.
I didn't know about Eventide Island until after I beat the game, and everyone was like, it was so amazing. And I was like, what the fuck was that? I didn't ever even see it.
That's the only part of the game where the challenge goes back to how it was at the beginning of the game, but even then you can still do things that you couldn't do. And you have a lot more health.
It was annoying in certain ways, but I did enjoy bits of it.
I have a story about that island because I fucked up like hugely there. Because the whole thing about that island is that you are removed, all of your equipment is removed, and you have to just use whatever equipment you have you can find there and deal with some enemies, which is pretty cool.
That's really cool, actually.
Yeah.
Plus a Hinox, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, a Hinox is there too. So you have to kind of, and there are three orbs on the island that you have to put into different pedestals, and that's how you beat it. And the Hinox has one of the orbs. But the problem I had wasn't with the Hinox, it was with, there was an orb on top of a plateau above the island, and right next to the orb is a little campfire, and I wanted to light it so I could cook some food to help me fight the Hinox. I didn't take the orb off away from the campfire when I lit it, and I wound up accidentally hitting the orb away, and it fell into the ocean.
Oh no!
I couldn't figure out a way to get the orb to respawn, and it's impossible to bring it back up to the plateau if it falls down. So I had to reload a previous save from before I even started Eventide Island.
Jeez.
Oh, God.
Because I don't think you can save while you're there either. So
I don't think so.
Yeah, that sucked, and as a result, I didn't go back and finish Eventide Island.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Was it 10 out of 10 material?
No. It's one of the better shrine
quests. It's one of the better zones. Yeah, and like, with all this said, like, I still feel like this is probably the best Zelda game I've ever played.
Yeah.
And to be
it's
fair,
a very good Zelda.
I hate most Zelda games.
I'm so conflicted about it because so much of the gameplay is just so non-Zelda to me. But I think it's... Mm-hmm. I think the only reason I am able to care about this game at all is because of the Zelda setting.
Uh-huh.
But also, it's not very Zelda-y to sit down and actually do the moment-to-moment, like, gameplay.
Like, yeah, it's
most
very
of the time.
Fun to explore.
It's really fun to explore and move around. Like, it feels good to move through the world. And that's really about all it has going for it now. Like, in the end, after I've seen, you know, everything I wanted to see and done everything I wanted to do, and it's had a couple weeks to sort of, like, settle in my head, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the combat is still good. I mean, it's still gonna be probably on my GOTY list or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
As far as, I don't know, I'm very much not at all a fan of most Zelda games. So
I'm really curious now what Zelda games you do like besides this one.
I tried Wind Waker last year.
Uh-huh.
Didn't like it.
That's fair.
Didn't like it much, lads. Hated
that one
the controls.
Like, that one has a rough start, and it's like Zelda's first experiment with like a more open setting, and they didn't do the best job with that.
Yeah, the thing.
I like it too. I'm just saying.
The thing that made me actually put it down was when I got really frustrated trying to do that jumping challenge in the hold of that one ship.
Oh my god, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Like, Link, I just need a jump button. Just yeah. give me a jump button, please, God.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's see. Didn't like Wind Waker much. I actually played Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass a lot as a kid. I do not know if they were good, but I did play them and enjoy them. Actually, yeah. The last one I played that I actually like finished too was Link Between Worlds. I thought was good. I think partially I might have just liked it because my brain is happy when it sees a top-down perspective in an art-directed world mm-hmm. such as that.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that quite a bit.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I played Ocarina and Majora on 3DS, and I liked the dungeons.
Yeah.
I did not like anything else.
It's weird because I feel like those games are almost like a you had to be there thing at this point. Like,
yeah, I definitely
some of them do. The 3D ones, I would say, absolutely.
Like Eden,
yeah, absolutely.
Eden, you're like all the... what, like 21?
I'm young. I'm young.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
wee baby.
The rest of us are slightly older than you. So I remember getting Ocarina of Time for Christmas in like the fifth grade. And just being completely, completely in love with it and playing it nonstop and like replaying through it like many times. And
yeah, I feel like that's a problem with them is like, I don't know this is a problem, but just like they haven't aged particularly.
No,
if you like them, you already would have found out that you liked them 10 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, but like, I think there's a certain something about them that if it got you at the right age, you're like, hell yes. But if you don't come
yeah.
to them until you're older, there's probably not a lot there for a lot of people. Like I saw the
yeah.
person who just set the new Ocarina of Time speedrun record is 18. This kid wasn't even born when the game came out.
That's wild.
It's like,
why are they playing
yeah,
Ocarina
why? You're
of 18. Time?
There's so much better stuff you could be doing with your life. Play Ocarina once for the experience if you want, and then just move on.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But I feel like this Zelda game has come the closest to being a real game, and that is what I like about it.
I like a lot about it, but there are a lot of things I don't
yeah,
like about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I really like the setting. Yeah. I liked the story as I was going through it. Like, looking back on the story, it feels like there's so little of it. Like, it feels like not very much happens.
Yeah, it's really sparse.
But it doles
yeah.
it out to you in such chunks, and it makes you, like, really want to know more, and that pushes you through the game, I think, pretty well. At least for me, it did.
Yeah, I like learning more about Zelda with the memories.
Oh god, the memories were so cute. Like the one where she tries to make Link
yeah.
eat a frog.
Yeah.
Or the
yep.
one where she and Urbosa are cuddling.
Oh, that's
a
good
really
one.
Good one.
Oh yeah, we need to talk about the Urbosa one because holy shit. I am so praise. I am praise hands emoji for
there,
that
there's
one.
So much, there's so much gay subtext between Urbosa and Zelda. Like the way that
yeah.
Urbosa delivers her lines,
yeah.
there's this undercurrent to everything she says of like, hey, like, I love this girl. I can't do anything about it because of the shit that is going down. If you don't like protect her, I will fucking end you, Link. Like all her lines are delivered like she's feeling
yeah.
that. And it's like, oh, I want you to be happy.
And then when you
yeah.
when you finish the dungeon, she's like, tells Zelda, I hope she's doing well.
Yeah.
She like tells you to do something for Zelda,
oh.
and it's really very, very cute.
She's a lesbian.
Oh.
She's a lesbian. And like I don't really care about the boys. Sidon is fine, I guess.
Everybody wants to fuck the shark.
I don't want to fuck the shark, but I'm not gonna, you know,
I don't
cause an uproar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I there's an asterisk there, everyone being the, like, the meme collective.
Yeah.
True.
I have a friend who really badly wants to fuck the shark boy.
That's fine.
But he's extremely good, so...
If he has two dicks, I'll try it. I'm just not going to be happy about it.
Everybody's talking about the two dicks.
The thing is, the two dicks are sideways. Like, right? Horizontally, so, laid out.
Oh, let's not fall down the Clasper path here.
Fall down to the going down with the ship path here.
Eden, that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here. I talked about Sidon 2 weeks ago, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good answer. Yeah.
Are you sure you're thinking of our podcast? We don't do good episodes.
Okay, so any last things you want to bring up before we leave the spoiler zone?
Do you have a favorite Zelda moment? Like the character Zelda?
And all of everything that Zelda does, because she's my favorite and I love her.
I didn't actually do all the memories, so I didn't get that much of her. So I guess her and Urbosa.
Yeah, so I mentioned the memory where she tries to feed Link a frog. But there's also the extra little clip you get if you had all the memories, where she smiles. Oh, yeah. She smiles and
she's finally happy.
I had such an emotion over her, like, getting to smile and just be happy for once. And, like, I was, like, tearing up. I was like, Zelda, I love you.
This is, like, so the best Zelda.
Yeah, like, she's such a good character, too, because, like, you spend all of the memories, like, looking through, like, looking back on, like, her life.
Yeah.
And so much of it is, like, she didn't have the power of the Triforce, which I don't think we talked about on the episode before, but, like, it's never really brought up in the game at all.
Yeah, they don't talk about the Triforce.
There's no mention of the Triforce. There's no, like, talking about, like, this gift from the goddesses or whatever. Like, Link doesn't ever get the Triforce. It's Zelda has some power that's similar to that at the end of everything, but she spends most of her life with everybody like, oh, she can't do it. She can't live up to everybody's expectations. She's a failure.
I felt so bad for her in all those memories where she's trying to unlock her, like, divine powers, and she's like, I just can't fucking do it. And everyone's like,
yeah,
you gotta do it or we're all gonna fucking die. And she's like, I'm trying. And I'm be nice to her.
Yeah. Also, fucking, what's his name? King Dadface, like, at the start of the game, like, King Daddy, at the start of the game, like, please save my daughter, I love her very much, save her from Ganon. And then you see, like, the cutscenes from Zelda's perspective of her life, and he's just, like, the hugest fucking asshole to her.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Maybe he regrets it.
I completely forgot that dad king guy existed until he showed up in the ending cutscene. He's so boring.
Yeah.
He has, like, 3 seconds of in-game time, and then that's it. Goodbye forever. Which is probably for the best, because Zelda gets to have more screen time.
So what I really want, really want is for there to be another game in this engine, and you play as that Zelda.
Yes, please.
Yeah, just let us play as Zelda.
Make that the sequel.
Yeah, you can kick that out in, like, 2 years. You can reuse the map. I'll forgive it. Like, whatever.
I have a question.
Just let that be the DLC.
I have a question.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily Breath of the Wild related. It's 2017. What happened to Linkle?
Oh, yeah.
Where did she go?
This experiment
happened? What fucking happened to Linkle? Because they had an announcement for her, and now she's just gone.
I mean, she was kind of created for Hyrule Warriors, and so I guess she's just stuck there.
That's true. I guess, yeah. But just, like, Oh, it feels so phenomenally like she just, yeah, I don't know. Where did she go?
We can't have female lead characters in
we just
games.
Spent an hour podcasting
we
about
made
one.
Her. Nice.
Look.
Nice.
I mean, you can't wear that Gerudo outfit the entire game.
You'll get shit defense,
but yeah.
You'll freeze to death, but
yeah, I mean, if you make strong like heat elixir, then you'll be fine.
Yeah. So I guess realistically, well, that like going back to like talking about like Zelda's memories too, like she's really the main character. You're just following after her,
basically.
Like, yeah.
Also, that's the best part is like, even at the end, like Link doesn't defeat Ganon, she does.
Yeah. That's like the whole game. It's just like, hey, you need to go help Zelda, not like help her as in rescue her, but you need to go help her. Like give her some.
She's been fighting Ganon like, for 100 fucking years on her own.
Yeah, I love
Zelda. She's really good.
She's been kicking her ass for 100 years, dude. You need to fucking catch up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've been sleeping this whole time.
Link fucking slept for 100 years and woke up like, "What's going on? I don't remember anything."
Oh, I just had the weirdest dream, dude.
Whoa, I'm so hungover. I'm gonna run around naked and cook some apples on an open campfire.
Let me just pick up this tablet. I gotta install some apps.
Okay.
Oh, there was one thing about Link. When we were talking about Zelda's room and her little library.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. Like, there's a mention of her talking to Link in her diary. And, like, in the memories, too, you, like, she brings up to the point where, like, you realize that Link actually does talk to her.
Yeah.
And she specifically mentions that she asked him why he doesn't ever really talk that much. And it's written, like, he says that he's just consistently stressed about everybody giving him the burden of being the hero that has to defeat the great evil. So he just, like, he doesn't feel like he can, if he expresses himself, like...
That's
he doesn't
so
have an opinion
cute.
Of his
yeah,
own.
He like has to remain stoic for the sake of others.
Yeah, aw, Link.
I think I saw an article probably predicated on that diary entry, and it's very cute, and I like it.
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of story, but I do like the bits that there were, because it was good most mm-hmm. of the time.
Yeah, somebody...
There's a lot of really good characters.
One of my friends remarked on this, and I'm very glad about it, is that Ganon is just, he's an evil force, and you have to go defeat him. Because if they're not going to subvert that trope, I would very much rather they just do this, where it's like, yeah, he's evil, you have to go kill him.
Yeah, he's just a thing. And
he's just a vague, evil, somewhat...
Do you want to talk about that, actually?
I have one more thing I wanted to bring up. This is kind of an interpretation I lifted from Andy McClure. You're probably familiar with McClure111 on Twitter. But she like talked about how basically the backstory of this Zelda game is that Hyrule built a bunch of drones and they were very bad at security. And Ganon just came in and hacked all their drone army and used it to destroy the kingdom.
Oh, yep, Ganon played Watch Dogs.
Ganon is... the hero of Watch Dogs 3.
Oh, what if Ganon's still on TV today? Confirmed. Ganon gets CTOS.
Ganon gets CTOS.
Chill, you're a sinner.
But no, the way that Ganon's presented in this game, there's a line towards the end that's almost like a throwaway, but it's like basically Ganon got so frustrated with like reincarnating into like a person form and getting like fucked up by the hero and the goddess over and over again that he was just like fuck it, I'm not gonna be a person, I'm gonna be like a fucking mass of goo that hacks shit.
Yeah, he became a manifestation of his own like anger,
and I think that's kind of a cool direction to take it, at least for one game.
I originally wasn't really on board with it, but now I like it a lot.
Especially if you consider that this one is at like the end of the timeline as we know it. I don't want to get into like a big Zelda timeline thing here, but Like, I mean, the previous one was Skyward Sword, which, like, explicitly establishes itself as the beginning of the cycle. And
yeah.
Then this one, it feels like almost all of the versions of Hyrule we've seen before are, like, there in the past of this world, except for maybe Wind Waker, unless the sea, like, went away or something.
My reckoning would be that, like, if they're tied in together, the sea must have had to, like, it has to have been, like, centuries for the sea to disappear, because, like, the Zora and the Rito are both
here. Oh, yeah, and the Rito were supposed to be evolved from Zora, which is fucked up.
Yeah, the Rito were the Zora that went to the tops of the mountains and evolved into birds, which doesn't make any sense, but whatever.
It's kind of cool that, like, the same way that, like, you know, things degrade over time, like, especially, like, you know, like, stories become legends, become myths, like, Ganon got, like, corrupted from even, like, his, like, fucked up, like, evil form that he had. Like, he just got, like, more and more, like, fragmented and just, like, fucked up by time, because it's been going on for so long. And I think that's really cool.
It's a little, it's also a little confusing, because, like, for the majority of the game, people keep referring to him as Calamity Ganon, which, you know, is a really silly, like, title to call Ganon, but then, like, nearing the end of it, you start hearing people use the word "the" in front of it.
Yeah.
So it's the Calamity Ganon, as like, as in there's supposed to be an apostrophe there. Like, Ganon himself is not titled Calamity Ganon. It's that when Ganon, that when the resurrection of Ganon always precipitates a sort of calamity, like
Ocarina, I like the first
time,
one better.
The fucking with the timelines, the causing the Earth to be flooded, like, every time Ganon comes around, like, the world gets fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. True. I have a joke from approximately 1 minute ago. Evolution, game theory, Zelda is Pokemon, confirmed.
Jesus. Jesus.
You're welcome.
So, should we wrap things up?
Okay. How do we wrap it up?
Well, first we should sign off. So this has been Video Games Are Bad, actually, bonus episode, The Spoiler Zone, Act 1. So you can find this show online at galsandpals.net or on Twitter at VGABAcast. And I'm also on Twitter at Jill Katze, KATZE is how you spell that.
America Genevieve, at ShipGirlMom on Twitter.com, and on Mastodon, if people are using that.
Oh,
yeah, I also have my username over there, too.
I don't have one of those, so you can find me on Twitter at Didgeree, which is spelled D-I-D-D-G-E-R-Y.
I'm on Twitter at Fontiago, F-O-N-T-I-A-G-O, or if you want to go on Mastodon, I'm at Eden over there, but I'm not going to be on there much. Sorry.
Use it just for shit posting.
Eden, do you want to plug your other show?
All my posts are shit posts. Sure. I have a podcast that's called Going Down with the Ship, that is a cross-universe shipping podcast. How can I describe it best? Well, the last published episode of the, as of the time of this recording, episode 42, we ship 9S from Nier Automata and Prince Sidon from this thing. And it is a very, very silly show about finding love in places you shouldn't and probably couldn't expect and shouldn't be in the first place.
All right.
It's fun.
Okay.
It's bad, actually.
So, Erica.
It's worse than video
Erica,
games.
Erica, you want to take us out? Give us that content.
That's good, good content. It's not good, good content, I guess. But
it's so content.
It's content. So from the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild Game Facts forums, we have a thread post from user Taco Money. The thread is titled, "After Memory Scene 9, I would not be surprised if Zelda wanted to do peyote. Seriously, we have Zelda game where the titular character wants you to lick toads for her. Who knows what other hallucinogenics she wants to test on you."
Oh, video games are bad, actually.
This one was pretty good.
I liked it.